So this morning we have displayed for us the fulfillment of righteousness. And what I'm talking about when I talk about righteousness in the Bible, what that is right relationship with God. That's what it is. That's what righteousness is right relationship with God. And when we enter into righteousness, we're entering into Christ because he's the only righteous one. He is righteous. We hear today, in fact, the Father saying from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That's righteousness. He's in right relationship with God and is well disposed to God. He loves the Father. Jesus does. And we are baptized into his righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. On our own, we don't have that. We can't be righteous by our own willing it. No, it's something we receive by being received into Christ. And in order to arrive at the end point, which is what we saw today, Jesus, he didn't even have to go to the cross to be glorified, and this proves it. He flipped it. He went right into glorified humanity on Mount Tabor. So he didn't have to go to Calvary, but he did, not for himself, because he could flip it any time. He could become glorified humanity like he did here. But he went for us so that we would be able to share in this experience of glorification. We're in the shadow of death. And so what Jesus did by going to Calvary is he went headfirst into that shadow of death to pull us out and then promise us the same share in righteousness that he enjoys and the fulfillment of which we see here. And of course, the Blessed Mother has already come into that as well. She is glorified body, soul, and spirit in heaven. Now, having said that, of course, what I'd like to then move to is something particular to us as citizens of the United States that could keep us from entering upon the path of righteousness. That's particular to us in the United States. That's what I want to talk about in the homily today. And again, these are things that's subtle, and the only way I understand what I'm about to tell you is by reading Scripture. In our culture, what we have tended to do is pervert justice, at least in what justice is in the Bible and what it represents. Justice in the Bible is a virtue that we're meant to learn that teaches us how to render to others than ourselves what is due to them. All right, that's what justice is. So justice in the Bible is summarized by the Ten Commandments. If you look at the Ten Commandments, they're about the first three. What do I owe God? Well, worship, reverencing his name, and loving him with my whole heart, soul, all my strength, my entire mind, first and greatest commandment. Now, that's not a suggestion. That is a precept due to God in justice. And that's the first three commandments of the Decalogue. The next seven relate to my neighbor. I'm not supposed to kill my neighbor. I'm not supposed to lie to my neighbor. I'm not supposed to steal from my neighbor. I'm supposed to honor my mother and my father. See, that's all about my neighbor, God and neighbor. So what's missing in the Ten Commandments is the most important subject for most of us in the United States, at least in the culture we're in, and that's me. And see, that's what we've done in the United States. We've made justice about securing what is due to me. And in that outlook on justice, the fulfillment of justice comes in a court of law. And that's how we secure justice for ourselves, you see. Now, that's an ethos in the United States, that we just absorb that. That's something we absorb. And we never quite get to, if that's where we stay, is with the culture out there, this litigious, you know, litigation and the like, the litigious culture. If we stay with that, we never quite get to the front door leading us to paradise, which is justice is not about me. It's about those other than me, beginning with God in the first three commandments and my neighbor in the next seven. I'll never forget my first realization of this occurred when I had a pretty terrible car accident in Austria when I was still teaching at the university in Steubenville. We have a study abroad program in Austria, and in September, one morning, I had gone to the dentist at 8 o'clock, which is already my definition of a bad day. No offense to dentists here, I mean, you're all good people, but not my favorite place to go. And I'm on my way from the dentist to get to my 10:15 class back at the university class location, the campus there. And I had a head-on collision with a car in these narrow mountain roads that rendered me in pretty bad shape. It almost took my life, and I ended up being life-flighted by helicopter from the site of the accident to San Polten, which was a trauma 4 unit, about an hour and 15-minute car ride. Now, I was on helicopter. Unfortunately, I wasn't awake for the ride. I would have loved to have seen the beautiful Alps and all that, but I got there, and the accident was Tuesday morning. I woke up Thursday afternoon, and Friday morning, the nurse came in. I'm in the ICU unit. I'm in pretty bad shape. I've still got a titanium rod from my knee to my hip in my left leg because I shattered my femur on that side. And I'm laying there in bed after having gone through surgery and everything like that. And the nurse comes up to me and she says, "So, would you like to sit up today?" And I just said, "No, I don't think so." And she said, "Are you lazy?" Well, I'll tell you, you know what the first thought went through my mind at that point was? Well, by God, I'm going to get my lawyer and chase you down through the courts of the United States of America. Then the reality hit me like, well, I don't have money to pay the lawyers, and oh yeah, I'm in Austria. I got to adjust to this reality. But isn't that interesting? The culture had just formed me to make it about me. And it was a real wake-up call, I have to admit. And justice, how do I secure my rights against my neighbor? And see, when you go to the Bible, as I mentioned, justice is summarized for us in the Ten Commandments, which is about someone other than me. I owe God worship. That's not a suggestion. In justice, it is due to him. So my alarm goes off, I'm not feeling like going to Mass. Yeah, it's better to want to go to Mass because you love the Lord, but hey, justice will do in a pinch. You just get up and do it because why? You owe it to him. You, my neighbor, I owe you reverence, honor, and respect. Would it be better if I loved you? Yes. But if I don't get there, justice will do in a pinch. And I don't do it, I don't honor you, I don't reverence you, I don't respect you because you've done good things for me or you've been good to me. And then I can blow it off if you do bad things to me. In justice, I owe you reverence, honor, and respect because you are God's image in creation. I owe that to you, whether I feel like it or not. See, that's what justice is. And we need to begin to go up that path of justice as the Bible understands it in order to get to love. See, because the fulfillment of justice is not in a court of law in the Bible. Fulfillment of justice is love in the Bible. Now that's a whole different, that's what this is all about. This is the fulfillment of justice. It's love. And yes, when you start down that path, it can be a real burden. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, we don't want to go down that path. And we stay, like Jesus used the image of a seed. The seed has to fall into the ground and die so it breaks open and bears much fruit. We don't want to fall into the ground and die, though. We want to stay the seed, and we have this shell around us, and we're just, we're stuck on ourselves. And it, and the culture is even cementing that for us. It is about you, and you have your rights in a court of law, and we're suing each other left and right to secure those rights against each other. And we haven't quite gotten to what justice means in the Bible yet. Because the seed needs to fall into the ground, and when it does, that shell on the outside starts to crack. Now, when that happens, ouch, that's painful. We're breaking open. We're breaking open. And that is the cross in our lives. That's what it is. A lot of times, if God was to come up to us and say, okay, I'm going to do thus and so to you, with your permission, in advance, and no one would want to go into that. No, I don't think so. So a lot of times what he does is he just springs it on us. Now it's all measured, it's in his providence, and it's suffering we never asked for. I didn't ask to have a car accident. I didn't ask for it. It's not something I got up in the morning and thought, oh my gosh, I hope I have a car accident today. You know, like I didn't ask for that suffering, but our Lord made good use of it in breaking me open, starting with this nurse in an ICU unit. And that's what we're talking about. When we start down the path, in order for me to get through those doors, I have to walk on the floor that gets me there. Well, guess what? In order to get here to glorified humanity, we've got to walk the path of justice, starting with the Ten Commandments. We got to get to the beginning, because that's where we start. And through that path, eventually what we're hoping for is we come to love. And we start to get onto this. And that's what makes the burden light. Jesus said, my burden is light. Well, what makes it light? When I start bearing it out of love instead of raw willpower to keep these commandments that usually we turn into a bunch of rules and maybe start blowing them off. It's just a bunch of rules. This is our challenge. This is what's put before us today. But see, we see the end goal. And what we find in the Bible as well, since justice is not fulfilled in a court of law within the United States, justice is fulfilled in love. What that means is I cannot love you and violate justice at the same time. That's impossible. That's impossible. I can't harm you and say I'm loving you. And see, we've got that wrong because if it is all about me, what I'm about is me when I come to you. And if it harms you, what I get from you, I'm not concerned about that. And I might even call it love. But that's not love because there can be no love if justice is violated. And that's why we have to begin at the beginning of learning, what does it mean to become just? Well, it means living the Ten Commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's where it begins. There's where it begins. This is our challenge, brothers and sisters. And it's a kind of a unique challenge to us in the United States, because we have got the justice system that has us believing that that's where justice is fulfilled. But when you go to the Bible, that's the fulfillment of justice. It's love. No greater love has anyone but to lay down his life for his friends. And I'm betting that most of you here that are married know exactly what I'm talking about, because if you want to ever experience how it's not really about you, live with one other person at least for an extended period of time. Welcome to, I call it the grind. What's being ground down? Me. And that hurts. It's not, I've been living religious life for 44 years. I've had sparks even. And I think we do have sparks, because we do want to make it about ourselves. And everybody doesn't seem to want to agree with that, because they want to make it about them. And somehow, by the grace of Christ, we do begin to break open. As the seed falls into the ground, the shell breaks, and there's this life inside the seed that starts to break forth to the surface, and before you know it, the tree grows, and the birds come, and people can go under the shade and find refreshment. And here's where it ends. Transformation, glorification, that is the promise. The Ten Commandments are the nuts and bolts of the Catholic life. And that's like going to a hardware store for lunch. Not too nourishing. So we've got to go to the bakery too. And here's the bakery. The bread is coming to us to feed us for this journey. We've got to get the nourishment in order to keep working at the nuts and bolts of the Catholic life. We need to be fed. So we go to the bakery to be fed. And that's what we're doing at Mass this morning. We need to be fed if we're going to stay the course of getting to this. Because the pledge of future glory is given us here, but also the nourishment we need to sustain the seed falling into the ground, dying, and beginning to bear much fruit. Brothers and sisters, this is our Catholic life. It's all coming from the Bible. And it does fly in the face of some of what we're brought up to believe in our culture. And so let's get on board with what our Lord teaches us. Because as it does say, our Father said from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Listen to him.